All right, welcome to the podcast. I am Pia Muhlenbeck. I'm here with Kane.
Good evening.
And this is Wine Time, the show where we crack open a bottle of bubbly and suggest you do the same.
Not if you are driving. If you are driving, wait till you get home before opening that bottle.
And join us as we chat through the week that was.
So what are we drinking today, Pia?
Oh my gosh, we're drinking beer.
It's called Wine Time, we're drinking beer. This is brilliant.
Yeah, we're on the Gold Coast, so it seemed fitting. We're drinking a Burley Big Head, which I picked out because apparently there are no carbs in this.
See, I think no carbs is a bit of a myth because I don't think the carbs are the issue in alcohol.
I think it's the alcohol.
Yeah, doesn't alcohol turn to sugar when it gets into your stomach or something?
Yeah.
I think that I read that like a vodka soda lime is still like 300 calories, even though like there's almost no carbs.
Yeah. I think it's one of those things that's like, it's very convenient to say there's no carbs because there's probably no carbs in most beers.
It makes you feel good. Yeah, right. I don't think there's many. I think it just makes girls feel good when they say it's no carbs.
Yeah.
Or makes guys with six packs feel good, but actually it's just not good.
It's nice anyway, though.
Anyway, it tastes great. So yeah, if you are in the Gold Coast, try a Burley Big Head. Or you probably already have if you're in the Gold Coast because it's like the beer of here. So I think we should actually talk about what we've been up to for the past couple of weeks.
We've had
a bit of a break from the podcast because I think the last time we spoke in the podcast, we were moving house and this was a goodbye episode.
Yes.
We were leaving Sydney, which we have now done.
Yes, we have. So we've actually embarked on our big Aussie adventure. Mm. It is well underway.
Do you want to explain quickly to anyone who's new what that is before we talk about what we've done on that adventure?
Absolutely. So about a month ago or so, we decided to pack up our entire apartment,
mm-hmm.
put every single belonging that we own into storage.
Which has been quite stressful for Pia because she likes her clothes.
And we've decided to go on a little bit of an Aussie adventure and drive through Australia in our Tesla.
Yeah, so the concept being we were spending an exorbitant amount of rent in Sydney and we figured just after the bushfires back in January that we were going to go on this big Aussie adventure and try and pack up our house and spend that rent money on small businesses and small Airbnbs and things like that in the bushfire affected areas to try and do our little part, albeit very small, to kind of boost local business. Now, about a week and a half after we decided we were going to do this in January,
mm-hmm.
COVID arrived.
Yes.
So that got put on hold. And now we are in, what are we in, July, August time?
Yep, July.
And we've just been able to finally leave Sydney, do what we'd planned, and we've moved.
Yeah.
We're officially homeless, can we say that?
Pretty much, yeah.
Nomadic.
nomadic lifestyle.
Yeah.
So we drove from Sydney in one swoop towards Byron, which was about a 10, 11-hour drive. Then we spent a couple of weeks there because we had some friends there. And this was very much when everything was starting to look quite positive on the COVID front in Australia.
Was.
So yes. So borders were opening up, you know, people were encouraging, we were totally encouraged to go on local domestic holidays.
Yeah, all the tourism boards started their ad campaign saying like, get back out there, go see Australia.
Exactly. And so we drove north. We spent two amazing weeks with friends in Byron Bay where we explored a bunch of different really cool things. You can go to our YouTube channel and check it all out. We filmed a bunch of it.
So we vlogged it and we also put it on bigaussieadventure.com because what we're doing is we are documenting every step of this journey. So if you guys fancy doing your own Big Aussie adventure, we're kind of putting every place we stay and every restaurant we go to and everything on there with our kind of tips and menu, you know, favorites and stuff like that. So you can follow along on this adventure if you choose.
Yeah.
But we stopped off in Byron for a couple of weeks just purely because we hadn't seen our friends for almost 6 months.
Yeah, exactly. We had been isolated completely before that.
We went into lockdown a lot earlier than most people in Sydney.
Mm. Voluntarily.
Voluntarily. Partly because of my Google searching ability.
Yeah, Kane was quite obsessive.
Well, every morning I wake up and I log on to Reddit, which is good sometimes, but bad when news is bad because you get it first and like, you know, you get the slightest inkling of bad stuff happening a week or two before it hits the mainstream news. So I was panicking. I was getting Pia to like, you know, plan and buy soap and things like this.
He was doomsday prepping big time and he was plotting his own pandemic charts and things like that before really that even popped up in the mainstream media and told everybody to start preparing.
Which meant that I was like kind of, I wasn't forcing us, but I was definitely suggesting strongly that me and Pierre stay indoors as much as possible because this big thing was coming. And lo and behold, I was right.
Yeah, you were right. But after being in lockdown for so long, we got such cabin fever in that apartment. Mm. That apartment was fantastic in Sydney. We really liked it. But there was a big issue with it being that it looked directly into another apartment building and there was no view, no balcony, and therefore no direct sunlight in there.
Yeah.
And I don't know why, but that affects me a lot.
It was also above a private hospital, which kind of we didn't tell anyone for the whole time we lived there.
Yeah.
But that really made me worry when I suddenly realized, oh wow, there's a health issue happening nationwide and we live above a hospital. And I just thought at some point that hospital is going to be filled with COVID people.
Yeah, exactly.
Thankfully it wasn't.
Yeah.
But it did scare me big time.
And so the reason for this adventure is, you know, twofold. Firstly, to go out and spend our money on, you know, businesses that are now struggling because they rely on tourist dollars, very much focusing on the family-owned businesses rather than, you know, huge corporations or whatnot.
Yeah.
And secondly, the fact that we love traveling and typically in the past few years, we've always done these big international trips. And now we've tried to look at a positive here and decided to explore our own backyard because it is actually beautiful.
Yeah. I mean, I think the thing that people are starting to realize now is COVID is not going away.
Mm.
International travel has well and truly been put on hold for many people.
Yeah.
I think I saw today that America pretty much has the least valuable passport in the world now because they can't go anywhere.
Yeah.
Like legally they're being blocked. Mm. And like for example, Qantas today flew their last 747-400 to the airplane graveyard and they're just retiring them all because they just know that there's no flights that they don't need the capacity
anymore.
Yeah,
didn't you tell me that international flights were now being booked for like 2023?
So I mean the way it works is airlines book they lease kind of terminal space off the airports in every country.
Mm.
And they are now, certain airlines are now pitching for terminal space starting 2022.
Right, okay.
So that's how much they're retiring a majority of their fleet to kind of save costs. And that kind of signifies to us, the average person, that travel is going to be restricted for at least the next 2 years. Unless a vaccine comes out and it works, then of course that's all good. But right now, without a vaccine that works, it seems that it's not looking positive. So that's why we thought, well, Australia is the place where a lot of people come, like me.
To holiday.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah.
I came to Australia for 2 years on a working holiday visa.
Yeah.
Because I loved it so much.
You're still here.
And I'm still here 10 years later. And like that's how good Australia is. But I haven't actually explored Australia that much.
Yeah.
So we thought, well, now we're allowed to drive around. We've got a car with zero emissions. We can charge for free using the Tesla Supercharger network.
Mm.
And we can jack in our rent and spend that money on small businesses. Like this is a great situation. Or to try and pull the positive out of a bad situation, this is a great situation for us.
Exactly.
We can explore the country really, really well.
Yeah, exactly. And
also do the exploration that we never have done historically because, you know, we always were traveling internationally with work.
Yeah, and if you guys are Aussies, you know, you can follow along on that adventure and find all the cool places to go so that in the next year or so, if you feel like you need a bit of a vacation, you've got some, you know, some inspiration there.
I think everyone needs a vacation right now, to be honest.
Just vacation from 2020
vacation
entirely.
Vacation from your front room.
Just wake me up in 2021.
It's so funny. Me and Pia were online shopping today, both on like boy and girl websites. And the large majority of brands that we shopped at last year that were like quite smart clothing, it's all track pants.
It's all loungewear. This is the year of the loungewear.
I wish Slinky made slippers. We would be so rich right now.
At least we make stretchy pants.
Yeah,
I think everyone just lives in the stretchy pants now. I don't remember the last time. I thought about this earlier today. I've worn gum boots way more than I've worn heels this year.
I've worn pants with elastic waistbands more than my jeans this year.
Yeah.
Which is, it says
who
a lot.
Who are we?
Well, it says two things. It says I'm at home a lot and it also says my waistline has grown somewhat thanks to COVID and the ice cream deliveries that I'm having almost daily. So we are up on the Gold Coast now. We have been for about a week and a bit and we're here with Pierre's family. And also, I don't know if we've ever mentioned it on YouTube or Instagram, but we actually have a place up here that we've rented out historically in the past.
Yeah, so we're on a little bit of a pit stop on the Gold Coast at the moment because about a year and a half ago, we bought an apartment here, which has been in the holiday pool, essentially. So we are also one of those small businesses that were relying on tourist dollars and that was completely unoccupied. Basically, basically for the entire year. So given that there's not been anyone in there, we thought we should come here and use this as an opportunity to do a little bit of a sort of a mini renovation on the apartment and just spruce it up a little bit.
Do you want to explain what a holiday pool is?
Well, so the apartment building itself is like a hotel.
Yes.
And so you can either be a resident in there and actually live in your apartment, or if you'd like to use it as an investment property, you can put it into the holiday pool, which means it will be, you know, rented out as a hotel room.
Yeah, that's
right. And then you get a percentage of that booking.
Yeah. So what we've decided to do is take it out of the holiday pool, because for the last few months there obviously have been no visitors because of the travel restrictions. Mm. And we're going to do a full renovation on it. So we're taking it from just a standard hotel room, which was still very nice, but we're putting the Pierre Muhlenbeck spin on it.
Yeah.
So it's going very boho, tropical beach vibes.
Well, it's nice because it's not a huge apartment. It's a one bedder, but it's right on the beach. Like, you wake up and you just get the sun in your eyes. You can open the windows and you can watch people surfing. Like, yeah, you can see the ocean and the beach. And so it currently has been very dark, like very dark carpet, dark drapes, this kind of, you know, dark, I guess, resilient hotel furniture, so that you can't really see any stains. But what we're doing is brightening the whole thing up and turning it into a beautiful beachside coastal haven.
Yeah, so all day today we've had new flooring come in. We've had people working there, ripping up the tiles, ripping up the carpet. We've been in full renovation mode.
I've got
Bunnings.
My overalls out again.
Seriously, Pierre's had overalls, and we've been buying floorboards and underlay and paint and all this sort of stuff. It's been pretty cool. So we're vlogging that separately to the Big Aussie Adventure as well. Yeah. That'll come out in about a month or two, I reckon.
Yeah, exactly. And so we're doing a little pit stop here while we organise that makeover, and then we will carry on further north up the coast of Queensland, and basically we'll stay in Queensland for the next month, I would expect, and then we'll see how the border restrictions go from there.
So I know you say a month, but looking at what we've got on our itinerary, I think you could easily explore Queensland for 3 months. Well, no drama.
Queensland is enormous. Yeah. And like, we're not just staying on the coast. We are going outback.
Yeah. Oh, 100%.
Yeah. We are going full red earth, dirt road, outback.
So yeah, we had a slight delay with our road trip because of the car we're driving. We're driving a Tesla, which is electric. And that has a very specific charge socket, I guess, for want of a better word. And they only really are popular in the major cities. Once we get out of the city past Brisbane, there's only like 2 or 3 chargers,
yeah,
which is a problem. So we had to order some adapters so we can use BMW's chargers, or, you know, if we go to a farm, there'll be a three-phase adapter there and we can charge there. And they actually only arrived a couple of days ago. So we are now ready to move on.
Yes.
We've got a couple more days on this reno and then we're going to be out of here.
I'm so excited too, though, because we're filming this entire little makeover as well. So you can watch me be like a little handy woman.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a really good video.
So that is our current plan at the moment, which is why the podcast has taken a little bit of a break. But guys, we've brought the entire set with us. Like, we're at an Airbnb right now and we've set up two enormous microphones. We've got this whole mixer in the middle that looks like a full-on little radio station, and we've both got headphones on and we're just sitting here on our iPad.
So interestingly enough, I just saw we're using a Rode Rodecaster thing, which is like a little mini mixer, as Pierre says, but it needs power. But I've just seen they've released an adapter that means you can charge it from any battery pack. You can power it. So we can actually be in the car in the middle of the outback and still record a podcast now.
That's
which
amazing.
Is super cool. So hopefully that cable arrives before we jet off.
We need to film when we do that. We'll just be sitting in like the boot of the car, yeah, doing a podcast episode.
So as Pierre said, we're documenting everything on YouTube, but we're also putting it all on bigaussieadventure.com. So we'll be putting blogs up for everywhere we go. But more importantly, if you have, or if you know someone that has a small family run business and you think they might benefit from a little bit of exposure in our YouTube videos or on Pierre's Instagram, which has 2 million followers, please do go to bigaussieadventure.com and let us know, because right now we are planning only about a week in advance. And so we're collating all the emails that come in and basically putting them into categories of city. So if we know we're going to Cairns, I can open a folder on my computer, click on Cairns, and I can see accommodation, food, all that sort of stuff. And if your brand is in there, we'll probably go visit it.
Especially, I don't know why, but I'm being very drawn to unique accommodations that have like a eco-friendly and sustainable approach.
Yes.
Like we stayed in a place called Camp Earth, which was totally off the grid. Mm. And honestly, given this pandemic, the most remote, isolated place we could possibly be. Yeah. And we've got plans to go to this beautiful homestead. Then we're going to a tiny house. So we want to do all these like cool, unique experiences that you might not readily find on like your normal accommodation websites. Yeah. They're quite tricky to find.
And also, yeah, they really are. We're struggling to find them. Like we're digging deep into places that might have a tiny home on a farm and they're not on Airbnb. They're not on whatif.com. And it's like, why are you not advertising on these places?
Yeah.
And so when we do find them, we want to share them with you because these are the guys that really could do with a bit of extra business.
Yeah, really great gems and mostly places that have been, you know, an eco-friendly approach, which is so nice because it fits in so well with the driving in the Tesla.
Yeah, exactly. I think it'd be cool to be able to show people that it's very easy now to travel Australia without having that range anxiety that I think people associate with an electric car.
Yeah.
Like a lot of my friends won't go to electric even though they've got the money to because they think, oh no, I need a petrol station. It's like, no, you really don't now.
Yeah.
So that's what I kind of want to show personally with this adventure.
It's so interesting what this year has done because I feel like there's been a real shift in mentality for young people.
In
like,
what way?
Well, normally I talk to our friends and we've all been like inner city dwellers, you know. Yeah. We want to go have cocktails. We want to go to the bars and the clubs and all that sort of stuff. Mm. And all of a sudden I'm talking to all my, you know, friends who are in their 20s and everybody now just wants nature and sunshine and like, you know, to grow some vegetables in their garden.
Everyone I know right now has a veggie patch or a herb garden in their house now. Their balconies are like little basil growing facilities.
Exactly. All of a sudden we all want to be, you know, self-sustained and like really get back in touch with what it means to be or what's important realistically because it's not the material things.
I think people that's exactly it. I think because people have been forced into their homes, they're realizing, oh wow, if I can't go out, this home is small and stuffy, for example.
Yeah.
Or if I can't eat out, how on earth would I get healthy food because I'm sick of delivery?
Yes.
And stuff like that. And then you start to, you know, you get bored of Netflix, you get bored of YouTube, you get bored of Twitter. So you go, oh, I'll look at realestate.com.
Yeah.
And suddenly you start to go, oh my goodness, for what I'm paying here, I could have an entire farm if I just was an hour out of town.
We have been obsessed with sending each other like huge parcels of land and just being like, there's nothing on there.
Yeah, no,
like,
nothing.
We could just live in a tiny home on this.
I really am very, very excited. Next week, we're going to go check out an actual factory that makes tiny homes.
It's not a factory. They're like hand hammered. It's like a couple of dudes. Yeah.
Oh, well, that's what we're doing next week. And I am so pumped. Because I think that's going to, like, so far, that's my most exciting thing on the Big Aussie Adventure.
Yeah.
Like, I want to see how they do it because I think that's going to be really popular with a lot of people.
Don't be surprised if by December we literally live in a home that is the size of my previous closet.
And we probably will have a pet chicken.
Yeah.
Or something
or
like
five.
That. Yeah, exactly.
I really want an alpaca.
Oh, I know. They're the coolest,
they
aren't
are
they?
So cute.
Really nice.
Yeah.
I don't want to be the person that cleans it out. If you get one of those things, you have to empty the...
That's fine. I picked up the horse poop. In our last vlog that we uploaded, you can see me shoveling horse poop if that's of interest.
Yeah, I'm sure. Don't watch it for that. But do watch it for the fact that it was... I'm not good around Pia's dad.
It's the most hilarious, honestly. Just watching how Kane is around my dad. My dad's like... sort of a country man, you know, like a sort of bushman with a very strong German accent.
Yeah. you know when you meet people that are like way more manly than you? Like, I don't know, I don't think the girls do it, but for me, if I meet someone else like Superman, like if I meet a tradesman, I immediately be like, oh mate, how you doing?
And like, I'm like, what are you doing?
Fancy a beer? You know, I suddenly become this real, I try and like alpha up.
Yeah.
And it just looks ridiculous because I'm still dressed like me.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the whole vlog that we just uploaded into Woomba is like 17 minutes of me doing that. And it's embarrassing for me, but it's very funny. The comments show that people really found that funny, despite me being completely humiliated for the whole day. So yeah, go check it out. It's on YouTube, Kane and Pia on YouTube if you want to have a little look.
So we wanted to do something fun today. Kane actually found the cognitive tests that Trump keeps saying that he's acing. I don't know if you guys have seen this, but Trump, the president of the United States, keeps referring to himself acing cognitive tests just to prove that he's all there.
Well, I think the person he's running against, Joe Biden, he's a bit older than him, I think.
Yeah.
And he seems to be, I mean, I don't know, don't hate me for this, because I'm just going by what I see in the mainstream media, which I don't know is true or not, but he's coming across as a bit senile.
Yeah. Like, I still think he's a better option though.
Yeah, so do I. But that's how he's coming across. So Trump's thing is he's arguing, going, this guy's mental and I have aced all my cognitive tests.
Yeah.
So I was like, all right, what are these cognitive tests? Because I'm keen to see where he's sitting in this whole scale of intellect in the world. And we found the test. So do you want me to ask you the questions?
Sure. Let's see if I can meet Trump's intellectual standards.
Okay. So this is question number one. Or it wasn't number one in the test. It's like question number four in the test. But the first question I'm going to ask you is, please take a pen and paper.
Oh, I don't have one. Failed.
Brilliant. All right. Well, I'll tell you what the question is and you can tell me if you think you're going to get it right.
Right. Oh, that's fair. Yes.
I'm sure this is what Trump did.
I think I'm going to get it right.
Okay. So, yeah, the first question I've got for you is, and this is a hard one, Pia, so, you know, pay attention. Draw a clock at 10 past 11.
Is that the question?
That's the whole question.
This is like kindergarten.
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. Ready? Circle. Boom, boom.
She's doing it with her finger on the table because we haven't got a pen. That's perfect. Well done.
Can you proof me? Is that correct? Did I get that right?
Now, this next one, I had to read this next one like five times because I thought I was missing something because I just assumed that the next question would get like harder.
Yeah.
Right?
I thought this was going to be like political, you know, questions or something.
I guess that a cognitive test, you're just seeing if you've got, is it cognition? Probably not the right word. If you have cognitiveness.
Okay. Maybe move on from trying to pronounce where you are because this is not coming across.
No, but like a cognition test is just to see if you've got like basic, you know.
Yeah, understanding.
Basic functions happening in your brain,
okay.
Really.
All right. So what's the next question?
It's not an IQ test. The next question is subtract 7 from 100.
93.
Yeah, and I was like, is it a joke? Is it 92? Is it, you know, are we counting the 100? Is it 94?
Is this a trick question?
Like, I was like thinking, what is it? And the answer is 93. So I'm like, no, 93. So then I'm like, man, like, it's got to get harder. Like, he can't be proud of these answers. These are elementary school questions.
Yeah.
The next one, I had to triple check that I wasn't reading this wrong. Name as many words as you can that begin with the letter F.
Oh.
And you've got to get 11. 11 is like, if you 11? Can get more than
okay. 11. Okay, ready?
No swear words, please.
No. Family?
Mm-hmm.
Friends?
Mm-hmm.
Friendship?
I mean, yeah, okay.
Forest?
Yes.
Fire?
Yeah.
Fabulous?
I can see where your brain's going. Yeah.
Fantastic?
Yeah.
Fantastical?
I thought you were going to say furniture.
furniture's a good one. Fictitious?
Yes. I mean, that's 11.
Freedom. Is that 11?
That's 12, actually, I think. Although I don't think fiction and fictitious is allowed. But
okay, farm.
Yeah, perfect. You've done it. So, like, this is an easy test.
Wow.
I think it's crazy that he's, like,
he's really
proud of this. Like, is this his greatest achievement this year?
Pretty much.
In The Guardian, it said that he has, since being in office, Trump has lied over 20,000 times in public.
Oh, I don't doubt that.
20,000?
Yeah. Honestly, I don't know what is going on over there, but if they elect him for another 4 years, I just think America's in a lot of trouble.
I mean, if you watch the news and you see like the people that are refusing to wear masks and like, you know, they're protesting and they walk up to the reporter and I'm not wearing a mask. And you look at them, it reminds me of the people in the movie Idiocracy.
Oh my gosh, I know, like, I know. I can't get that movie out of my head.
That's a comedy from 2005, 2006.
Yeah, but it's so poignant. Like, I know the movie is a bit, it's not like
it's
an amazing
movie,
but the premise of it, and I feel like we're there.
Well, so if you don't know, Idiocracy is a movie that is by Mike Judge, who is the guy that made Beavis and Butthead, like kind of slapstick childhood toilet humor, for want of a better word.
Toilet humor, that's a really good way to put it, yeah.
I think it is, right?
Yeah,
that's what Beavis and Butthead is. But also, you know, a very good producer, writer, whatever, but yeah. just he has his own style. So Idiocracy is about a guy who is frozen in a cryo chamber. Something goes wrong. The cryo chamber doesn't open until the year 2500.
Yeah.
At which point, year on year on year, it's intelligent people refused to procreate because, you know, it wasn't the right time. The markets weren't good.
Focusing on business.
And yeah. all of the for want of a better word, dumber people.
Less educated.
Just procreate like crazy. Mm. And as a result, intellectual people got kind of wiped out.
Yeah. And 500 years time and civilization has really had a dumbing down.
Well, this is the thing. Yes, in the movie, it's in 500 years. And 15 years ago, that was highly funny.
Yeah.
But we watched it again about 2 weeks ago.
I cannot stop thinking
and
about it.
Watching that movie, neither can I. Watching that movie was strangely depressing because it was, if you watch that movie and then turn on the TV,
yeah.
it was really similar.
Yeah.
Like the people that are just yelling at the camera.
Yes.
Saying ridiculous stuff.
Exactly.
And then I was like, man, that was fiction. That's how he predicted 500 years from now. And it's now, it's today. And if this carries on going, if we keep, you know, promoting and glorifying the idiots,
yes.
like we've got to stop letting people on Jersey Shore suddenly have an opinion on the news.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be the case. Like if you're a boxer, your opinion on whether you wear a mask or not is absolutely irrelevant. I don't care.
Yes.
But then the mainstream media are to blame because they are actually giving idiots a platform. If a doctor says wear a mask and some idiot says no, you don't need to report on the no. The smart person has already spoken. But what the media seems to do is it goes, doctors have reported that we should do this, this, and this. Interestingly, this boxer over here says, let's not.
Based purely on opinion.
Yeah, but you don't need to give both sides an opinion. If one opinion is deemed factually stupid, don't put it on the news because there are stupid people in the world.
They're just amplifying that voice, yeah.
Yeah, you're amplifying Idiocracy. And the thing is, the news is meant to report the news. It is not an opinion station. It's a news station.
Yeah.
So you've got to report the facts, not some idiot's opinion. Like, what's his name? The chef, Pete Evans. He's good at one thing, cooking.
Yeah.
Nothing else. He is an idiot in every other aspect of his life. He sells a machine called, I think it's called a biodome or some sh**. And you hold on to it and it cures you of it just doesn't work, right?
Does he do that?
Yeah, and right now he's going, I'm not wearing a mask, it affects your immune system. It's like, bro, if that was true, why have doctors worn masks for years? Like, doctors wear masks to protect themselves and to protect you. They are, it's not rocket science.
What they're also failing to even take into account is half of the, you know, the argument of wearing a mask is actually to protect the people around you. So it's completely selfish to say, oh no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to go out and just infect everybody with my germs.
But also, again, if you're like, there was a UFC fighter that came out going, oh, I'm not wearing a mask. Don't let the government tell you that this hoax is for real. It's like, how do you know it's a hoax? Because last time I checked, I saw thousands of people dead in a hospital.
Yes.
Literally, there were so many dead people coming out of New York. They were carting bodies into a truck.
Yeah.
Because there weren't enough hearses.
And
for
if
them.
The people who are specialists who have dedicated their lives to learning about health and well-being and how viruses spread tell you to wear a mask, don't listen to some UFC fighter who just doesn't like the look of it.
That's right. And the thing is, the mainstream media are completely to blame for this because they're giving people a voice. And the thing is, once you start splitting democracy like that, at the core, we operate well as a civilization in Australia because we have a core set of values that we all kind of align to.
Yeah.
The minute something or someone comes in and splits that, which by the way, Russia have been known to do with countries in history many, many times.
Yeah.
Once you split the core democracy value, you can actually break a country very easily and then an attack is very simple. So I'm not saying that's what's happening here, but this is the beginning of a breakdown of society. It's very important that we don't let that happen.
Mm.
We don't give the idiots voices because if a breakdown of civilization happens.
Well, I mean, everybody should have a voice, but there needs to.
No, that's not true. Do not ask me my advice on how to cure cancer. I'm not a doctor. I don't know. Do not put me on the telly. I'm stupid when it comes to that.
Yeah, okay.
If you want to know how to take a photo, please don't ask a doctor, ask me.
Yeah.
But I've lost a lot of friends during COVID.
Mm.
Not because they died, but just because they're completely dumb and I had to cut them off.
Yeah, okay. America just has not, they just don't have a plan
no.
at all. Like, So many other countries have dealt with this quite well because people are respectful of one another. There's mm-hmm. a feeling of, you know, a mutual society, a neighborhood, a community, that kind of thing. So people want to do the right thing by each other. And I think because Trump has just not implemented any sort of plan and in fact actually incited the riots, encouraged the protests and things like that, he's done the complete opposite of like – calming this whole situation down. And what's happening is just insane. It's just crazy.
I read an article. I showed you that article from that guy. The prediction is if coronavirus in America reaches 100,000 approximately, this is just an estimate, 100,000 cases per day. Bearing in mind they're at 77, last week they were at 60.
Yeah.
If it reaches 100,000 new cases a day, it will be near on impossible to stop until a vaccine is developed.
Yeah.
And there is no guarantee that a vaccine is coming at all right now.
On average, it takes 10 to 15 years to develop a vaccine and test it and be able to release it to the public.
The only caveat there is that never before has the entire planets of doctors, entire planets worth of doctors been working on one thing.
No, that's just an average, you know.
Yeah, but like that's for Ebola, which let's be perfectly honest, most doctors don't care about because it's localized to one specific area.
Yeah.
If Ebola was global, every doctor would be on it. So
but best case scenario with this, it's still a few years, realistically.
It's going to need a year or two of clinical trials once they've found one that they think works.
Exactly. But if America gets to 100,000 cases a day, then COVID-19 would actually probably become a permanent risk.
Well, it's going to become a way of life for them. I think it already has, but it will become a serious way of life. Like, you know, you've got to think for the next 2 to 3 years, there'll be no one at the basketball game.
So what would that mean in terms of like the rest of the world opening up to travel and then simply...
not America.
Quarantining America.
Yeah, that's basically it. Donald Trump got his wall.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm seeing that a lot of the... conspiracy theorists or whatever you want to call them, morons that are trying to dispute that COVID is real are saying, oh yeah, that person, he had COVID, but he died of a heart attack. So, you know, did he have COVID this week or was it a month ago? What caused the heart attack? And they're trying to make excuses.
Right.
They're using cognitive bias to try and say, all right, this, yes, this person did have COVID when they died, but they died of an aneurysm. So, but why are you writing it down as COVID? It's like, well, COVID is exacerbating all of these issues and causing the premature death because you have an underlying health risk. Like, it's not that hard to comprehend. if COVID wasn't there, the person with a weak heart would still be alive. Like, do you get that?
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't understand that. They go, no, he died of a heart attack. COVID was in the system. It's like saying doing too much cocaine and not blaming the cocaine for the heart attack. The heart attack did kill the person, but the cocaine certainly helped it along.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? It's the same thing, but people just don't grasp it and I don't get it.
Yeah. Oh, it's a very weird world that we live in.
Yeah, it is totally nuts. I agree. But it does give us a nice convenient segue into my favorite part of the podcast. I asked on my Instagram for everyone to send in their favorite conspiracy theories about COVID.
Oh, gosh.
And I did not expect there to be so many. I thought I was going to get the same 8 or 9 repeated over and over and over again. I've got over 100.
Oh, wow.
Different ones. I've collated them all and there's over 100 different conspiracy theories about coronavirus, where it originated from, why it's here, what the plan is Bill Gates the leader of all of it? so I thought we would spend a few minutes now going through like my favorite 4 or 5. I mean, I guess I'm going to debunk them, right? Because we are a platform of logic here, so...
A platform of logic?
Yeah, I don't particularly agree with everything Ben Shapiro says, but let me tell you, facts do not care about your feelings.
That's right.
100% accurate in this case. So yeah, let's go through these conspiracy theories one by one.
I haven't even seen these.
No,
I have no idea.
I don't want you to see them. Thank I want to read them out to you in real time and get your live intellectual response.
Okay. I feel like this was such a fun section when we first came up with it, and now it's like 2020 here and we're like, oh, where do we even begin?
Yeah, so I do actually have one of the things that has happened throughout this whole COVID thing is I have been deep in the realms of conspiracy theories.
Yeah, I know.
I've been Googling like crazy because I love it. I love looking at how random people's minds can be.
Yeah.
It fascinates me to see how people take, you know, that and they link
connect
it to
the dots.
Yeah, they connect the dots and it's like super tenuous. And like we've spent a lot of time with a lot of my friends recently and they love their conspiracy theories. So I've kind of absorbed them all in. Mm. So we've got weeks and weeks and weeks of worth of conspiracy theories coming up. But this episode, given we're talking about COVID, and I asked it yesterday, I thought we should talk about the COVID-related conspiracy theories here on today's podcast. All right, I'm going to restart the soundtrack because it is the best soundtrack for this.
Spooky.
I know it's a bit comical, but I don't really have an X-Files theme tune for this segment.
Yeah, it is actually quite comical.
This will have to do. So the first conspiracy theory that we have, which has been sent in by so many people.
Yeah.
Obviously, everyone that sends it in knows it's a joke.
Yeah.
But they've asked me to talk about
it. Oh, so these people that submitted these don't really believe this. They're just telling you about the most common things they've heard.
Yeah, all of my followers are super intelligent. They know this is a joke. I said on my Instagram, which ones have you heard?
Oh,
and which are the wildest ones you've heard about? Tell me.
I thought these were literally like your community.
No.
Sending these in. I was like,
No.
Do you know about this man?
The Pika crew are very smart.
Yeah.
I don't need to put them in that category. Number one was that 5G is what's making us sick, not COVID.
Oh yeah, I mean I've heard that.
That's been going around for ages. Yeah. Actually there was things saying that 5G was going to make us sick before COVID was even out.
Yeah.
Apparently in Holland there were people that were going up to 5G towers and burning them down.
Yeah, I saw people around the world tearing down 5G towers.
It's crazy.
And then I asked Kane, okay, what actually is 5G? And it turns out that it's literally just the fifth generation.
Yeah, it doesn't mean anything else. It's just a slightly different millimeter wave.
Yeah.
It's well under the power of like a standard radiator heater, like, or the sun, or an arc welder,
or a microwave, or anything like that, right?
I think it sits around about the same frequency as a microwave.
Right.
But also, that was proved years ago that you can stand in front of a microwave when it's on and it will not fry your brain. Like, it's simply not true.
Yeah.
But like, I'm sure all of our grandmothers still, when they put the microwave on, they run over to the other side of the kitchen because they don't want to get fried. Like, it's just a myth.
But
it doesn't do anything.
Am I wrong in recalling that when 3G came out, people were also really worried about that?
Yeah.
And then when 4G came out, people were also really worried.
Yeah, absolutely.
So every generation where they just increase our bandwidth, we totally are up in arms about it.
It's bizarre because I don't know where this theory comes from. It's completely unfounded.
I mean, I guess a lot of people are worried about radio waves in the air that they can't see.
Why would that be ever a worry to anyone? Like,
well, because we can see what happens when we put something in a microwave, and then we're just assuming that our brain will will look like if we heat up oatmeal.
I mean, an X-ray, right?
Yeah.
That's the one you should be worried about. Because when you go to a hospital and you get an X-ray, the doctor puts you behind this big, like, slate thing, and then he runs out the room.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then he presses the button. That's the one you should be worried about. And that's the one you willingly go and go, bro, X-ray me. I think I broke a rib.
Yeah.
Like, you're happily doing that one.
Yeah.
And that's the one that the doctor, by the way, runs away from.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, so yeah, that was one that has been pretty popular.
But so they're saying that it's 5G, it's not COVID, that's making us sick.
Yeah.
But isn't 5G here on the Gold Coast?
Oh, we've had 5G in the Gold Coast for 2.5 years.
And there's like no cases here.
Yeah. Literally zero. We have zero new cases in Queensland.
And this is the biggest 5G network, like one of the biggest 5G networks.
I mean, I think the Gold Coast was the test bed for Australian 5G.
Yeah.
Like the 5G we have in this house is insane. It's so fast.
It is.
Yeah, and a lot of the countries that are really doing badly with coronavirus haven't even got 5G. Like,
okay.
Think about all of the Asian third world countries that are still running on, like, you know, 2G and 3G, and they're being ravaged because they're not washing their hands. It's definitely nothing to do with the cell towers that are not even in the country.
Okay, so the people that are pushing this conspiracy theory have not done their
due diligence. I don't know.
Okay, debunked.
So the next one is an interesting one because I know that a lot of countries are doing this behind the scenes, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it is a Chinese bioweapon.
Yeah, right. Okay.
Now, I want to be delicate with this because I know that countries globally are creating bioweapons. There's been talk for many years that the next world war would not be a physical world war with bombs. It would either be a digital world war via, you know, hacking.
Yeah.
Or a biological
warfare.
Biological warfare.
Yeah. This one came about because there is a big lab in Wuhan. And so yes. I saw a lot of articles that were like questioning whether it was released on purpose, and instead of being from the market, it actually came from the lab and things like that. So I think that's the correlation there. But can't you tell, I mean, not you and I, but people who are educated in this field, can't they tell if a strand has been manufactured or is natural?
I think they can, yeah. I know that there was, I think it was a couple of doctors in India. Mm. They found anomalies in the DNA or the RNA, and it looked like something had been implanted in there.
Yeah.
But then like pretty much every other doctor globally was like, nah, that's what it normally looks like. So I think they retracted it.
Okay.
But that was out, and that kind of created the conspiracy theory that it was a bioweapon. But if it was a bioweapon, you know, I don't think China would want to have killed all of their own people as well.
Yeah, that seems a bit clumsy.
Very clumsy. I would suspect that there is, if it was a bioweapon, which I don't think it is, but if it was, it was an accidental leak. That would be plausible.
Oh, you mean like they were actually like doing lab tests? Yeah, and I mean, somehow.
I mean, every country is doing lab tests, right? Yeah. It's not unique to that one country. The guy probably forgot to wash his hands and went down to McDonald's.
Babe, then, I don't think anyone in those labs is forgetting to wash their hands. Have you ever seen someone go into surgery? They wash their hands for like 40 minutes, like all the way up to their elbows, and then walk around like hands up in the air. I don't think anyone's going, oh, whoops, I forgot to wash my hands.
The fact that we're seeing now that the virus can travel asymptomatically for up to 2 weeks, that, you know, there could have been a small break in anyone's protective gear, and it had gone in and they wouldn't have even known. 2 weeks later, they might have gone to the food market.
I see.
That's how it could have worked.
Yeah.
I don't know. Most doctors globally just think it's come from eating animals that we shouldn't really be eating.
So many viruses and bacteria and diseases just comes from us eating animals.
Yeah, swine flu.
Yeah.
I think
bird flu.
But yeah, there's a lot. It's like
let's just eat more plants, and then
it does seem that
not
way,
create all these massive pandemics.
Yeah, I must admit that is something that has crossed my mind a few times this year.
Like, yeah,
if we were a vegetarian species, we'd be fine now
from eating like disease-ridden animals, and suddenly we spread it through like the human communities.
Yeah, I know. That's a bit disappointing, isn't it?
Yeah.
It certainly is. And another one that I saw is that this is a secret plan from Muslim countries to encourage us to get used to wearing masks. And then over the next few years, those masks will evolve into burqas, and it'll be easier for you to transition to being Muslim if you're used to wearing I think, is it called a burqa, the mask that covers
And what, they
everything?
Don't teach you any of their faith. It's just literally they want you to wear burqas.
They get you in with the mask first and then teach the faith afterwards.
I've not heard that one. That's so ridiculous.
It's weird, hey?
I think the only way you can convert someone to a religion is to actually teach that faith.
And then you've got to want to be in it as
exactly,
well.
Exactly, yeah.
The best one that I saw, which I think is just great, is the whole theory around Bill Gates. This guy has spent his whole life, he's made Windows, the computer thing, he made a bit of money, and then he's pretty much spent the rest of his retirement trying to save lives.
Yeah.
He's made vaccines.
He's a great philanthropist.
He's curing malaria in countries and blah, blah, blah. But all of a sudden, now that he potentially could stand to make a good bit of money by developing a COVID vaccine, everyone's like, oh, well, the vaccine is probably going to contain nano-tracking particles so it can track us.
Oh, is that – I thought the conspiracy theory was just that, like, he was profiting off the vaccine. But they're saying that he's actually trying to track people by injecting everyone around the world.
Twofold. Like, these people have been watching Star Trek and thinking that's real.
Yeah,
it ain't.
Does that level of technology exist?
Of course it doesn't.
Like, tiny trackers?
Where would that tracker get its battery power from if it's the size of a nanoparticle? It's crazy.
Plus,
if governments wanted to track us – they're doing that already.
I know.
No one leaves their house without their phone. If they walk out the street and they've left their phone at home, they'll run back upstairs to grab it. We are addicted to iPhones.
Yeah.
We do not let them leave our hand.
Think about TikTok.
Exactly. You know,
I think that's more concerning than Bill Gates right now.
We all know TikTok's tracking us and we're still all on it. Like, we don't need to hide that we're being tracked. We're happily hitting yes every time we install a new app. It says, do you want to use your camera? Yes. Do you want to know where your location is? Yes. Like, we're volunteering this.
Yeah, exactly.
We don't need... We've all got this COVID app now.
Yeah.
We're telling the government willingly where we are. We use credit cards everywhere.
Yeah.
The shops know where we are. Like, all the banks know where we are.
There's cameras all around the streets and everything.
I counted. I went from... our house to the office,
yeah.
273 cameras, street cameras, would have seen me on that route. Like, that's just for security and safety in the city.
Yeah.
Like, they don't need to track me at a blood molecule level.
Yeah.
They're doing it with cameras.
I mean, what's the benefit of tracking in the grand scheme of things? It's just to, like, observe consumer behavior, right?
And basically.
Try to sell you the things that will make your life more convenient.
How would they control us? If there's a nanoparticle, what is it going to just take over my brain one day and I'm going to wake up like a zombie, go, must kill my wife? Like,
I mean, probably.
The best one and the final one I want to just end this podcast on is that COVID is the younger generation's attempt to keep their parents at home so they don't spend their inheritance. Because, like, it affects old people more, right? So they're saying, mum, dad, grandpa, grandma, stay at home. This could kill you. And then they won't spend their inheritance. So when they do die, they get more money.
Are you kidding? Well, that hasn't worked at all. Because now they're all renovating their houses.
And they're all online shopping.
They're all home improvements happening.
Yeah, so I thought it was pretty funny. But who knows what the real reason is. We might never find out.
It might just be an actual... pandemic.
It probably is.
Yeah.
And that's where we're going to end today's episode of Wine Time. If you enjoyed this podcast, please make sure you're subscribed and have hit that 5-star rating on this episode. Every little bit helps, so we really appreciate that. If you fancy keeping up with our antics outside of this podcast, you can always follow us on Instagram. The links are in this description, or you can check out our YouTube channel where we post at least 2 videos a week. If you'd like to check out our website, which has heaps of posts as well as all our photo and video presets, head over to caneandpia.com. That's www.caneandpia.com. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll see you in the next one.